Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
Hola, welcome to Sport on Sunday on this exciting afternoon where there's lots of actually interesting football matches on today. Not that I'm too bothered about Ipswich versus Norwich, because let's face it, who cares? You know, so what, they hate each other. Yeah, but they're in the middle of nowhere. I think I spent a week in Norfolk once. Absolutely boring. I mean, I was about 12 at the time, but still, boring. There's nothing there. Just flat. And Ipswich have nearly scored. So that's that later. Everton, Arsenal and Spurs, Liverpool. Woof, this is a Super Sunday. It's almost like they get rid of the rubbish games just so we can watch the good ones all on one day. Right, so this morning's back pages are as follows. They're dominated by football, but there's nothing else apart from football in them. Has anything else happened over the past few days? England stuff Cass in the rugby league. I watched that, and that was good. I enjoyed the bit where Gibbo got battered by Alex Walmsley for running into him. It was his own fault. And some very mischievous headlines from our national broadcast yesterday, who discovered about a day and a half after it happened that Scotland had lost to the New South Wales country under-23s, but failed to mention in their headline, because of course they are clickbait, that the Scotland side put out for that game had 8 new caps in, so still they haven't been capped because, of course, these games don't count. Had some players that weren't even in the squad, apparently. So I don't know. Does it mean they'll lose to Tonga? Possibly, but I don't think because of that. Danny Brough wasn't playing. He looks very tanned as Danny Brough. I've seen the pictures from the media event overnight hour time in Australia for the World Cup. He looks very tanned as Bruffy. I don't know where he's got that in Huddersfield. It looks like a young Gary Price, just a bit smaller. There's a reference to the Wakefield supporters listening. This morning's about pages, dominated by football. And surprisingly, after what's happened this week, not the football story you'd think about. We'll talk about that in a minute. Huddersfield's 2-1 Premier League win over Manchester United dominates a lot of this morning's papers. Well, there's a shock. The Sunday Times described it as a field of dreams on a newly promoted side. They won nothing. While the Sunday Telegraph quotes Jose Mourinho's fury over his team's attitude, you hear from formerly the special one, now just the, you know, him, in a bit. The Mail on Sunday takes the same approach, focusing on the Old Trafford manager's unhappiness. It's almost like they're taking the credit away from Huddersfield Town. Apart from The Observer, which reckons Huddersfield the top dogs, because it's Terry, isn't it? By the way, I didn't know that... that Huddersfield mascot was called Terry, which is a rubbish name, isn't it? Terry the Terrier. I don't know. Elsewhere, the Sunday Mirror claims, are you ready for this one? Who's going to be in line for the Everton job if Ronald Koeman gets sacked? Who should we get in? Someone exciting and foreign, or David Moyes? All the Scotland fans are saying, yeah, please, please, we don't want him. Please, please, please. The Sunday People reports former Manchester City boss Roberto Mancini is struggling West Ham choice if they get rid of Slaven Bilic. Watch a bit of West Ham on the telly on Friday. They're rubbish. They are the most overhyped team, I think, within the football media, because they've never really done anything. When did they last win anything? The 60s? Oh, yeah, they won the World Cup, didn't they? I think they won the Cup Winners' Cup. But apart from that, what have West Ham ever done? And yet they're held up as this kind of great club. That whole I blame the whole they're leaving Upton Park thing for all the nonsense we had to sit through with the South Stand. What about the North Stand at Headingley? That's gone now. You used to sit there and watch the cricket back in the day. Watched a bit of rugby league there as well. It's only a West Ham rubbish, yeah. The Sun on Sunday claims Real Madrid are convinced they'll be able to sign Spurs striker Harry Kane in the summer. So from Gareth Bale going to Manchester United, we're now starting Kane to Real. Harry Kane's very good, isn't he? Well, I'm not saying he's not very good. I don't see how he fits into the Real Madrid team. Is he a replacement for Benzema? I don't know. I don't know. It's just the papers making stuff up, isn't it? With sources and everything. The Sunday Express says Newcastle boss Rafa Benitez will benefit from the club's potential new owners. He reckons he'll have as much as £300 million to spend in the January transfer window if a deal led by Amanda Staveley goes through. Who are you going to buy for £300 million, though? Andy Carroll? Oh, I don't know. He's gone, hasn't he? So nothing in this morning's back page about what's been going on with the FA. Surprisingly, when was the inquiry at Parliament? Was that Wednesday? Tuesday or Wednesday? And they're still all in their jobs? How has that happened? Talk about incompetence. And the point has to be made. Why were the FA so desperate to defend Mark Sampson? Not because of what he has alleged or not alleged to have done to any Aluko, Drew Spence and other players on the squad. But when you look at his record, let's get Wikipedia up, because Wikipedia never lies, of course. When you look at his record, I mean, Jesus, younger than me is Mark Sampson. So he's achieved quite a lot more in life than I have. It was his birthday the other week as well. Happy birthday, Mark. Before he managed England, he managed Taff's Well. I don't know. Are they in the League of Wales? I don't know. And then Bristol Academy. They finished runners-up in the WSL and got to two FA Cup finals. Then was appointed England manager. That doesn't seem like a great record, does it, over time, to be appointed as a manager of the national team? And then, of course, they got to third place in the 2015 World Cup, which everyone overblew. The media coverage of that tournament. And I know there is a push to promote women's sport, and we're part of that as well. We spoke to the Women's Rugby League players at the England launch a couple of weeks ago, and we wish them well. And as we learnt in the papers last week, they don't get paid, the England Rugby League team, the women's team, to go out to the World Cup. They're having to take time off work. Some of it will be unpaid. And, yeah, they get their expenses and whatever, but they don't get paid, which, you know, come on. I don't know how we can sort that out. I don't know where the money comes from, but what was I saying? Oh, yeah, when England finished third place in the World Cup, I watched some of the coverage on the games, and the pundits and the presenters and the experts and whatever, very reticent to criticise anyone at all involved within the team and the squad. Almost as if you criticise, you're having a personal dig at someone. Which, if the players aren't playing well, if the formation doesn't work, if the tactics don't work, I remember the game against France where England were rubbish and just trying to lump the ball forward, which would probably work in the Championship, as we found out in the past few weeks. But it's like, no one's willing to criticise, even when the play is poor. Why is this? So anyway, Mark Sampson, he's not in a job anymore. I'm sure sooner rather than later, because this is the way the sports media work, we'll have some gushing interview with him where he'll, you know, say, oh, he's so sorry about whatever he's done and whatever he hasn't done and this and that and the other. But the people at the FA are still in, the people who employed him are still in charge. The people who let a daft inquiry go ahead, which appears to have been a complete shambles because it's been torn apart in Parliament. And let's face it, when MPs are having a go at you, and we know how useless they are, dear me. And they're all still in charge and they're all still there. And you know what? Nothing will change. Nothing will change within the governance of the FA because they are the biggest sports organisation in the country or whatever. And the Premier League makes billions and billions of pounds. It's a worldwide success story. It is the best league, the most exciting league in the world. And while they've got that and this and the other, the FA are untouchable almost. But it's built on sand. It's built on a pack of cards and apparently employing people who don't appear to have a clue what they're doing. Which is a bit of a problem. When they got rid of Sam Allardyce, for what appears to be spurious things in the paper, he actually did nothing wrong, did he? I don't know. I don't know. Would you be more excited about the World Cup were Sam Allardyce still in charge as opposed to Gareth Southgate? Nothing against Gareth Southgate. He just appears to be a bit of a... Well, he's exactly what he is, isn't he? So that's this morning's back pages and the FA. And it was good to see the thick of its inquiry episode played out in real life with people from the FA. But never mind. I don't think anything's happened in the world of sport this week. Other than that, let's ask these questions now while we've got this platform at the start of the programme. We've only done 9 minutes, it'd be all right. The media coverage of tennis, right? What happens is, early in the week, when these tennis tournaments start, British players will be in, because, of course, you can't get knocked out before it starts, unless you're in qualifying. So the headlines will go, Britain's generic number two player has made it through to the second round of the Luxembourg Open. And everyone goes, yeah. Well, no one really does, because no one cares. You watch it on TV, any of the early rounds of these tennis tournaments, there's no one there. No one there. Yes, they turn up for the final. And yes, they turn up if Roger Federer's playing. But apart from that, or Rafa Nadal. If the famous people play, they turn up. If they're not famous people are playing, they don't turn up. I mean, I was watching it this week because I like tennis. Honest. But you get all this media coverage when the British players get to the second round or something. When they get knocked out, the story is British generic number three has been knocked out of tournament in quarterfinals. And then they don't mention the tournament at all. It's almost as if we only cover things when someone British is in a final or in the competition. Someone British got to the finals of the Kremlin Cup doubles. When have you ever mentioned the Kremlin Cup doubles before? And yet the darts, in which there were loads of people in Germany this weekend watching Peter Wright beat Phil Taylor in the final on ITV4. So there have been, you know, hundreds of thousands of people watching at home in the UK, thousands at the venue. Not a sausage. Not a sausage. The snooker, you know, Ronnie O'Sullivan's feat notwithstanding, no one mentions anything yet. The crowds in Barnsley have been good all week, and I'm sure all the people there have enjoyed themselves, and Eurosport give it lots of coverage, of course, but outside of the TV coverage, it's almost as if snooker doesn't exist. And yet thousands of people watch these sports on TV and at the venues, and it gets no coverage compared to tennis. Was ist das, as they say in Germany. I don't know. Maybe I'm part of the problem here. I am part of the media, after all.